Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Herbie, we've let Cole wait too long. Let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Yeah, we used to love to have Cole Wright on the show when he was holding it down on NFL Network as a big Chicago fan. Representing what's going on with the Bears, always asking us about what's happening with the Cubs. And then, poof, a couple years later, he gets to come back here. He gets to be doing pre- and post-game and all sorts of other stuff for the team that he loves on the Marquee Network. And it's a really great marriage. Cole Wright joins me now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Alpamonte Ford has 500 new and used vehicles for you to choose from out in Melrose Park. Or you can check it out at alpamonteford.com. You see him during, before, or after Cubs games on the Marquee Network, and he's always looking sharp in a very well-tailored suit. I'll tell you, man, the tall, thin guys, they always look better in the suits. Cole Wright joining me now here on The Score. What's up, Cole?
Lawrence, what's going on, man? I know I'm tall, but I don't know about thin. I think it's just that we have to put on the tightest clothes possible now. Because those Steve Harvey suits have kind of gone out of style, much to my chagrin. You know, back in the day, I used to be able to gain about 20 pounds, you know, maybe 22 before you realize that the suits were getting a little snug. Now it's you gain 2 pounds and you're in trouble.
What's the most buttons you've had on a suit?
Honestly, 3. I've never had a 4-button suit.
Okay, that's good.
When I started really getting into wearing suits, it was, you know, I got my first TV job in 2004. And I feel like the 4-button suits were there, but I feel like they weren't as practical. So the a 3-button suit with the button spaced out right looked like a 4-button. So that was always good for me.
The thing is that we'll make fun of like the guys at the NBA draft and stuff, and Jalen Rose and his suit at the draft. But if you look at television news and particularly television sports, like up until even about 5 years ago, we all looked pretty terrible.
Yeah, I mean, I had my fair share of square-toed shoes, so that's never a good thing. Like, I'm not, what am I trying to climb a fence?
How are things going at Marquee? You're looking good, and everything seems to be off on the right track.
Absolutely, you know, things are going great. You know, we've gotten some really good ratings, you know, in across the board in all demographics, which is always good. You know, when you can, you know, generate viewership, you know, for people in one neighborhood, or you know, people that. You know, when it comes to the women, I know we just had a meeting, and there was, you know, a huge demographic. We got a higher rating than The Bachelor when it comes to, you know, I think 25 to 52 in the female demographic. So that's big. We know the ladies love Cubs games, and, you know, as do fellas in the city. So, you know, whatever we can do to, you know, bring the best product to everybody, which is good. And I'm glad, you know, the Comcast deal went through. So now I didn't have to come on here and you didn't have to ask me, you know, what's up with the deal with Comcast. You know, it's already hammered out, so that's good news. And the way the Cubs are playing, I mean, can you ask for much more? I mean, their pitching staff, their starters are, I mean, lights out, best in baseball. And we've seen, you know, they come through offensively, and it's just been a lot of fun just being able to watch this team come together and the way they that they've bonded. You know, when you see positive things coming from the squad, you know, you hear it from the dugout. You know, everyone's each other's biggest cheerleader. So I expect some big things out of this season. I mean, even though it's only a sprint, these guys are running.
I was talking with Rossi at noon about a couple of his pitchers. I love to watch Kyle Hendricks work because I think that he's so smart, and it comes across in the way that he approaches going after lineups. I loved Alec Mills yesterday, him breaking people off with his curveball and getting that.
Well, it was pitching baseball.
It's great. It was a 66 miles an hour, Cole. Was that what it was?
Yeah, 66 miles an hour on average is the slowest pitch in baseball. I mean, and he's throwing, you know, right at 90, 91. So essentially there's a 24 to 25 mile an hour difference. And, you know, for anyone out there who, you know, who knows their baseball, you know, being able to change speeds and keep hitters off balance, I mean, that's huge. And that's what Alec Mills has done. And we've seen it in his results. You know, hopefully for Kyle Hendricks, you know, tonight there's more of the same. But, you know, we talked about it last time. Millsy went out. He went out there, he dealt, and then Kyle Hendricks came out and Cincinnati got to him. The only problem is that Alec Mills and Kyle Hendricks, their style is very similar. You know, they like to keep you off balance. They neither one of them, you know, is going to break the jugs gun when it comes to velocity, and he keeps you off balance with that changeup. Now hopefully there's not been an adjustment where Kansas City's hitters will adjust tonight like we saw in Cincinnati, because when those guys go back to back, That's the only thing that I have, not a problem with, but I just feel like when you have two similar looks, it makes it just a little bit easier for the hitters to adjust. But, I mean, Kyle Hendricks, he's a pro. I mean, the way he pitched on opening day is unbelievable. I think that he's going to make every adjustment that he has to make, and I think tonight he's going to go out there and get after it.
What's been the most surprising thing in this start that the Cubs have gotten off to, in your opinion?
I think the surprising thing to me is the bullpen. You know, I know a lot of people are like, well, the bullpen is a lot of unknown guys and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, before you're known, you kind of have to be unknown, right? So it doesn't really matter. I mean, I know they had a lot of big guys down there that throw gas, and that's good. I mean, I saw Rex Brothers come in. You know, he hasn't, you know, gotten everything 100% together, but his stuff is off the chart. I mean, he's a lefty that comes in and blows doors, man, 96, 97, 98. And when you have that down in your pen, it's only a matter of time before things start to really fall into place. And, you know, we saw Rowan Wick come in last night. We saw Casey Sadler. I mean, Casey Sadler, what a great story. I mean, he's a guy who's knocked around with a bunch of different teams. You know, I had the opportunity to cover him in Los Angeles. And for him to make an opening day roster and for him to go out there now in his, you know, his last two appearances and go out there and get outs and be successful, you know, that's a big thing. And I know he said that he and his wife, they had to work other jobs, and you know, they were struggling for him to get to the league. And, you know, he was in the minors, and he said that there was times when they were on public assistance, and for him to persevere and be able to watch his dream come to fruition and go out there and watch it materialize as well. I mean, it's pretty special. So there's a lot of neat stories on this team.
That's dope, man. Cole Wright joining me here on The Score. You can watch Cole on the Marquee Network. I'm so happy that they got a deal done with Comcast, Cole, because it's pretty easy for me to flip. Like last night, I had it all lined up. I had the Blackhawks on 200, had the White Sox on 201, had you guys on 202. It was nice and easy for your boy as I was shifting through what was going on in Chicagoland. I want to ask you a question about what happens in the studio with you particularly when you see Javier Baez make a tag like he made last night.
I mean, what can you do? I mean, we're watching the games, you know, we're watching them in our newsroom and, you know, bouncing back from, you know, the studio to an office. And we're wowed. I mean, that would almost be an understatement, but it's like, we see it so much now from him. It tends to be commonplace. I mean, what he does with his tags, I mean, it started in the World Baseball Classic, and that's when we saw him, you know, take that tag, and he was already, you know, thanking his catcher and giving him thumbs up. And I mean, he's second to none when it comes to that. I feel like he has a whole, not just one, but he has the entire collection of Tommy Mansky defensive drills videos. I mean, I feel like he, as a child, he may have even been in one. I mean, because the guy, I mean, he's unbelievable on defense. And when you see him laying down bunts and then, you know, getting, you know, solid base hits up the middle in extras to win a game, I mean, I'm glad he's on our team.
All right, speaking of Tom Emanski, like this is since I'm now a television free agent, I can give you some ideas. Since you guys are always looking for good programming, and I mean Fred McGriff does have a Cubs connection, why don't you guys do something on the Tom Emanski Baseball School?
That would be fantastic. I mean, if we could get Tom Emanski, I feel like someone needs to track Tom Emanski down. Like when he's not teaching kids how to play ball and perfect their swings and their do or die throws on the crow hop. I mean, he's out there looking like a Las Vegas pit boss. I mean, who goes to the field in like khakis and a V-neck sweater and a collared shirt like to start running drills? I mean, Tom Emanski was serious and he had those transition lens glasses on. I mean, he took his job very serious, man. So we'll have to track Tom down and see if everything's going all right, if he's on the up and up still.
Back to back to back AAU champions,
Cole. National champions. That's right.
I always marveled that they kind of always look like robots, and I couldn't figure out if I wanted to be exactly like them or the complete opposite of the kids from the Tom Emanski Baseball School.
You know, I thought those kids in that commercial were related to Vicky Lawson from Small Wonder.
Yes,
the way the robotic movements went down, but. Yeah, you know, it's crazy. You know, I always wanted one of those videos. I'm like, man, like, how do I get on one of those teams? Or how can I be in this commercial? But, yeah, obviously that never happened, so.
Yeah, but, all right, you act like, okay. You act as if you didn't play baseball at a significant level, though. I think you ended up just fine, Cole.
Well, yeah, I mean, not significant enough. I mean, if it was significant enough and if I was, you know, considered a baseball player, I'd be an analyst as opposed to a host. So all I do is steer the ship. I don't really offer my opinion up. I do what I see, and I let the guys that, you know, that have the credentials, I let them go about it. Because after all, I was listening to a show the other day, and I heard some guys, they were just sitting there. They were just ripping players from top to bottom, and oh, unbelievable! How does that happen? And how can this go down? And I was thinking to myself, I'm like, wow, I'm like, that's unbelievable. I mean, they must be able to step in the batter's box and you know, swing away and with power. Oh, that sounds fantastic for them. But to me, it just, when if someone tunes in and listens to me, you know, browbeating these players, I mean, I can't do anything that any of these guys can do, nor have I ever been able to. So that's my reason, and that's my philosophy. If I can't do something, then I have really no room to criticize. So I'll let our analysts, I'll let them, you know, pick and choose their spots, and our guys are great. So, you know, the way that they go about things, I think that they're very complimentary, and I think that's more of a product that I enjoy watching. I know that's just me. I mean, and you know, the thing I was listening to was a national show, and the guys, the way that they had, you know, I'm sure they just do that to stir the pot, but it's just not how I really try to operate, man. Like I said, and my levels of baseball playing were nowhere near significant enough to even mention. So,
okay, look, I'm not gonna argue with you about this. All I'm gonna say is that go Google Cole Wright, Derek Carr, David Carr. Sorry, Cole Wright, David Carr. Go Google that and look at the video of you out throwing a number one pick in the NFL draft when it comes to miles per hour on the radar gun. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
He has six kids, though. So, I mean, that's just wear and tear. I mean, children, they take it out of you.
He didn't have the kids, Cole. And you, and last I checked, you got kids? Like, what are we doing here? Like, come on.
I only have one. He has six. I only have one. I can only imagine. If I had six, I would probably regrow some hair, or you know, go to wherever Brian Urlacher and Deion Sanders go. I'd probably grow some hair just so I could pull it out if I had six children.
Yeah, that's true. I was babysitting my niece and nephew last night, and I'm trying to watch the games, and they are running around, and they are a trip. So I can't even imagine having six and trying to tend to those.
You know, I have a question for you. I want to know, how many hats do you have? Because I fancy myself a hat connoisseur, and as I see you doing your recaps, or your what do you call it, the LoHo recap?
Yeah, the LoHo recaps, where I do White Sox recaps on Twitter every night and on the House of L YouTube page. I haven't done a count, but I was looking at the next couple of days, especially with the weather being a little cooler, I can put the winter Scully on. I think I'm good for a few weeks, Cole. Straight up.
Okay. Because I thought, I'm like, man, does he have a new hat? Because you said I'm going to wear a different hat every time, but you didn't specify, would it be a new hat, a new and different hat every time, or would you just be rotational with it? See, that was my biggest question. Because I'm like, if you had 60 White Sox hats, I mean, that's a stable.
I don't have 60. I mean, I think eventually I'm going to run out. But,
okay.
I mean, I'm going to do a couple of things, too. Like, for example, at some point, I'm going to wear my Chicago American Giants cap because – and I should have done it Sunday because they were playing Kansas City. I should have done it then. But that – I mean, they played at Comiskey. So there's your tie-in right there, and I have multiple Chicago American Giants caps that I can rock.
Okay.
But I got some stuff, man. You'll see. I mean, I got one that I'm thinking about wearing tonight that hopefully – here's my thing, Cole. Do I wear a good cap when the Sox lose? Or do I just go, like, basic black cap on nights that they lose?
Yeah, I say save the good ones for the W's, man. Save
okay.
the good ones for the W's. It's almost like wearing a brand new suit and tie combo on like an update shift or something like that for doing like a quick hit. Like you want to save the new outfits for the big shows. That's what you want.
All
that's
right.
what you want to do.
I think that's it.
Yeah, save the hat for the win.
All right, so I'm gonna give you credit for this. I'm on the recap tonight. If they lose, I'm gonna give you credit. So we'll go basic black cap on any night that the White Sox lose. But when they win, we gonna spice it up a little bit with all sorts of stuff.
Okay, well, I'd like to see him win just because, I mean, if Chicago baseball is strong across the board, I mean, that could set up a Chicago World Series. And with all the young talent that the White Sox have right now, I mean, that would be unbelievable to see because, I mean, with the way the Cubs are playing, I know it is optimistic, but in this short season, to go out there and grab a commanding lead is always something that you can hang your hat on. And right now, with that three-game lead in the Central, I mean, the Cubs are looking pretty good. So, I mean, hopefully the White Sox, follow suit. I know they had a few bumps out of the gate, but this is a team with a lot of talent.
Hey, I look at it this way. The games that the two teams are going to play this year matter more than ever. And the six games that they're going to play are going to be a lot of fun. And the way that the schedule sets up, it's almost like someone was thinking maybe these two teams could be good. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I love all the guys over there on the north side. I love when Theo is on the station, when he's come to hang out on my show, and Rossi's on here. So it's going to be a lot of fun for sure. I want to ask you real quick before I let you go. I like your crew of analysts, man. Like, I didn't know what to expect from Ryan Sweeney, but you guys seem to have gotten a little something there. You've done it pretty quickly.
Well, that's one thing I like to say I pride myself on is just being able to work with whoever. And, being able to find that common bond and, especially with baseball, I mean, I think the common thread with all of us is we all love baseball. And, I never made it, but I played with some guys that those guys have played with. And, I know this guy and they know that guy. And, oh, yeah, I remember him. And it just it makes it easier for you just to have, quick conversation. And then you kind of identify each other as being on the same page. And I just think it makes it that much easier. And, being able to. For Ryan or for Sean, for those guys who are just getting into the TV game, I'm able to give them some pointers, say this makes this easier or this works for me. Or, if this works for you, then go ahead and you can embrace that or you can just do what you want with it. Almost like kind of like Ron Burgundy. You could listen to this or you can just throw it right back. So, it's fun. It's fun working out there with those guys because, I mean, we're watching the games and the reactions when you see a Javi Baez tag or if you see Chris Bryant hit his first home run of the season like we saw last night. I mean, it's literally a new, fun, different experience every day. And these guys love baseball just as much as I do. So, to be able to talk baseball every single day, for me, it's a luxury. I mean, I know I worked at the NFL Network for 5 years and, was able to cover a little baseball on the side. But it was almost just like a parachute into baseball. You parachute in, like you kind of know what's going on, but not 100%. But when you get to do it every single day, I feel like I'm just so locked in, and it's so much fun. It's really a blessing just to be back home.
It is, man, and I'm glad that you're doing well, and it's been a successful launch, and you guys are having a great season with the Cubs so far. Let me ask you before I let you go about the NFL. Do you think that there's going to be football?
I don't know. I would like to think so. I'd like to hope so. I mean, I like to think the best of everything when it comes to this, you know, with teams following protocols and making sure all the safety requirements are in place and followed to a T, because I know that the Cubs are, I mean, they're as serious as it gets when it comes to this. You know, we've seen what's gone on with the Miami Marlins and the St. Louis Cardinals. And, you know, there's been word on the street that, you know, they did not follow protocols as strictly as they could have. And, you know, the one thing, I don't know if you saw my tweet, like, you know, Derek Jeter, who I love Derek Jeter. I mean, that's probably one of my favorite players of all time. But for him to say, like, oh, nobody broke protocol. We had one guy go out to get, and it's almost like he was being interrogated. And he's like, we had one guy go out and get, and he's looking around the room and he saw like a glass of milk. And he was like, we had one guy go out and get some milk. Yeah, some milk. That's it. Like, some milk. Like, that's what you said before coffee? Like, hey, guys, I'll be right back. I'm going to go get some milk. Like, huh? Like, I mean, is that plausible? Yes. Do I think that's what happened? Probably not, because, you know, we have heard reports on good authority that some of these guys did not follow all the rules and, you know, they probably were doing a little more than they needed to. And I think that the Cubs and, you know, I'm sure the White Sox on the South side are following those rules very strictly as well. So, you know, when it comes to the NFL, you know, I've heard that the Saints are thinking about having, you know, a bubble hotel down there for players to kind of, you know, filter into and kind of be, you know, pseudo quarantined ahead of the season. So if they can get all these things in place, but you know, then again, you know, football teams are so big. There's so many more players on a roster than baseball, and it is a contact sport. You know, I saw that they were going to outlaw the jersey exchange, but that kind of defeats the purpose, because that's after the game, after guys were tackling each other in a pile and, you know, scratching and clawing and biting and kicking and punching. And, I mean, everyone is in close quarters. So, you know, hopefully there'll be some sort of containment when it comes to this, and that there will be a football season, because – I mean, that's winter. I mean, that's what it's all about. The cold months, it's watching football. It's you know, Sundays and Monday nights and Thursday nights. And, you know, for me, it's been a big staple, you know, for my life, you know, the last 5 years and even before that. But, you know, for football to not be a part of this season, I mean, it's so much part of the American fabric. So we'll see. Let's hope for the best.
Yeah, let's hope for the best. And I'm looking forward to seeing you get to work tonight. The coverage on Marquee will start at 6 o'clock with Cubs Live. You can check out Cole Wright throughout the game, after the game, too. Cole, my man, welcome home, and thanks for being on the show.
Hey, anytime, man. The pleasure's all mine. Thank you, brother.
That is Cole Wright from Marquee Network. He's great. He would sometimes just call us and be like, what's up with the Bears? Even though he works for NFL Network. Or did work for NFL Network. I'm happy that Cubs fans get Cole on Marquee. He's a good dude, a real good dude. You guys are lucky to have him. We'll take a break. We have not talked about the Blackhawks yet, and we need to. I'll share some stuff next here on The Score.
Mully and Hall, Chicago's sports morning show.
I'm like so focused on our baseball teams. It really has kind of taken over my life a little bit.
The Sox are scoring runs in droves.
I gotta tell you, I'm a little disappointed that they're not scoring more runs, as stupid as that sounds. And,
come on. What do you want?
I want more runs.
Mully, you sound a little greedy.
Mully and Hall, mornings 5 to 9 a.m. on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago's sports station. Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2. On Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
And game two is underway. Move it out to center. McDavid tapped it deep. The one change in Dave Tippett's lineup is on this line. Here's a shot. Right in front, they score. The Hawks fail to get it out, and there's Connor McDavid. 19 seconds in, and bang, Edmonton in front.
Grand opening, grand closing.
Man. That was a rough watch in the first period yesterday. Blackhawks and Edmonton game two of that series did not go the way that anyone wanted it to go. Can I just take for a minute and talk a little bit about the second goal? Not the first one. I mean, the first one is a lack of defense and happened real quick. The second one, I thought, spoke more to Connor McDavid's greatness. I swear, watching him handle a bouncing puck with a stick like a point guard with a basketball was pretty dope.
McDavid with speed here. He goes on Matthews. He scores! Connor McDavid, a backhand roof shot. And boy, oh boy, he goes top shelf. Corey Crawford, the speed, the skill, the avoiding of the stick of Slater Cuckoo as well. And McDavid, too. The Hawks, nothing here in game two.
Dude, it was like if I joked on Loho Daily today that it was, if you put Sweet Georgia Brown behind it, you would have thought that it was a basketball highlight because he was just like, doop, 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 doop. And just, can we have a conversation about Corey Crawford yesterday?
As they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
I mean, we all are. Crawford was sloppy in the first game, but you're sitting there going, oh, well, it's just he hasn't really played for a while, and he's probably getting used to things. And maybe that's still the case in game two. But the Blackhawks were bad in the neutral zone yesterday. They were bad on defense. They were bad on the power play. And what Crawford was doing out there handling the puck, oh, my God. There's a lot of bad. There's a lot of bad for the Blackhawks last night. I was joking on the Loho Daily pod that in the middle of watching the game, so last night I'm going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth between the Cubs game, the White Sox game, and the beginning of the Blackhawks game. So I think there was a pitching change in the White Sox game. So I went to go see what was going on, and I saw that Edmonton was already ahead, and they were in the middle of the periods, and they did this interview with Connor McDavid. And Connor McDavid looked about as angry as anybody who had scored two goals in a period that I had ever seen. It was great. Because he was talking about how they felt like they needed to get off to a fast start. And they did. But when the interviewer asked him about, you know, what do you think is going to happen next, he would have preferred to have been anywhere else in the world. And specifically back out on the ice kicking the Blackhawks' ass. I don't know if it means anything or meant anything. I just was like, oh, he's so serious right now. And when you're talking about one of the game's best players, you better have a game plan. And in the first game, the Blackhawks did a good job of, look, he still got his, but kind of keeping him silent. That was not the case. He gets a playoff hat trick in the game, and the Blackhawks just looked lost on defense. The neutral zone turnover, was that the fourth goal? I mean, some of this stuff was just like, ooh. Like, it looked like booze hockey. Not blues or boo, boo. Chris Bryant, boo. It looked like they were drunk. That's what it looked like on defense. Jeremy Colliton said something that I thought was really interesting in the post game. He was talking about communication. And with an empty arena, communication should be better. Like, theoretically, it should be better. But last night, the communication on the ice for the Blackhawks was worse. Take a listen to the Hawks head coach.
Yeah, I mean, you can talk no matter what. I feel like even in the loudest buildings, when you're in tight, you can talk. But start on the first shift with the first retrieval where we didn't talk and we turned the puck over and it's in the back of our net. So we just, you know, that's, if you break out clean, you don't have to defend as much and you can create more. And that's something we wanted to do is spend more time in the offensive zone. And we really didn't. We weren't able to get to the neutral zone as cleanly as certainly the game before. And a lot of that is communication and then execution. You know, we don't think we made enough plays either. So it's a tough formula to win.
It is. You can't win with that formula that the Blackhawks threw out there. Herbie, did you spend any time watching the Blackhawks last night?
Last night, no, I did not, because we were recording the episode.
Oh, that's right.
White Sox
yeah.
Game.
Yeah, you and Tanny have to do Locked On Sox right afterwards. I got to tell you, man, I was so geeked up. So yesterday, Mel and my niece and nephew were here. So we have a 2 and a 3-year-old running around the house. And we were trying to wrangle them and feed them pizza and chicken nuggets and whatever it is they wanted to be happy, popsicles, whatever it took. So I'm watching the game with them. We're hanging out. My little nephew Cam is sitting here watching the White Sox. I have a niece named Layla. She understands baseball. She's 2. So we were having a good time, like, just watching the game. Luckily, their parents showed up and took the little munchkins home. And so I was like, great. Now I get to really, like, lock in on the Blackhawks. Like, I had watched the White Sox game. I understood what happened there. I watched the Cubs, and I knew how I felt about it and knew I was going to come back and watch that game in the morning. It's like, now let's go. Let's get into this Blackhawks game. And the Blackhawks made it so easy for me to turn the TV off and go to bed. And they happened quick in the third period. I was like, oh, that's enough. That's enough of that. This is not going at all the way that people want it to go. And they are not – this is not one of those games where they're going to dig themselves out of the hole that they have dug for themselves. Shout out to Dig Dug. It was a great game when I was a kid. So I said, all right, you got one of the first two. Fine. We'll see you on Wednesday night. But they better come with a better defensive effort, because if they don't, they're going to get – that was the equivalent of put down the sticks yesterday. I kind of like me an angry Connor McDavid. Now let's see if the Blackhawks can answer. They better. And I'm sure you were doing the same thing. You're like, am I really going to have to stay up until midnight to watch this? And the Blackhawks were like, nope, you sure don't. You don't have to stay up till midnight at all. You go ahead and go to bed around 11:15, because that's about when the game was over. Take a timeout. I want to get back to a little bit more of the Cubs and Sox stuff. We will do that next here on The Score.
The Score is Chicago sports. Chicago sports is The Score. We've been doing it for almost 3 decades now, and we thank you for keeping us the number one sports station in Chicago. Listen on your radio, your laptop, your mobile device through the radio.com app, or tell your smart speaker to play 670 The Score. We're live and we're local. 670 The Score is a radio.com sports station. Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
So for those of you who were listening to the interview with Cole Wright, and you're like, what the hell is Lawrence talking about when it comes to Cole Wright and baseball? I just tweeted out the video of him throwing 90. Out here talking like, oh, I couldn't do what these guys do. Just go look at Lawrence W. Holmes, him out throwing a number one pick in the NFL draft. Cole played baseball like for real, for real. He didn't make it to the majors, but he played baseball for real, for real. Like, I kind of played baseball, like barely. I was decent enough. Cole played for real. People out in the western suburbs know exactly what I'm talking about. You could actually put together a pretty decent, like, old man baseball team of media members in this town. Who's going to mess with our rotation with Cole Wright and Eugene McIntosh? Who wants some? You come get some. We got to figure out how to do the rest of the infield and maybe find some outfielders, but we going to be straight when it comes to pitching and catching. We'll be all right there too. I got one game left in me. I got 7 innings. That's all I got. That's all these knees are going to take. Anyway, Back to baseball at the professional level. Cubs and White Sox back at it tonight. White Sox are in Milwaukee before the Brewers come here. Cubs are at Wrigley Field tonight against Kansas City, who they should whoop up on again. You'll have Kyle Hendricks on the bump. The White Sox are in need of arms now, and I didn't think that we would be at this point 10 games in where the White Sox are out here looking for starting pitching. But they're going to need it. You're running out of guys. And I was happy when they brought in Gio Gonzalez, but I looked at Gio Gonzalez as being, I mean, I hate to say this because it's not personal. I looked at him being the fifth starter on this team. I was expecting Lopez to take a step forward. Unfortunately, physically, he can't. But you're now down. You're down. Think of it this way. If you're the White Sox, you're down Kopech, Rodon, and Lopez. Already. You're 10 games in, and those guys are not pitching for you in 2020. And I don't know where one goes to find starting pitching these days. Because everyone has their taxi squad. So, theoretically, all of the major league pitching is eaten up. Because on that taxi squad, you're going to put guys that you think can come up and pitch a couple innings. Like, I don't know if anyone's hiding starters other than the Brewers. Like, the Brewers have like a – they've got like seven guys that could be in a rotation that you would feel comfortable in a rotation. But the White Sox have got to figure out, like, where the hell they're going to get innings from. Which means that the other starters might have to do a little bit more. And that's all right. I mean, it's okay to push, I guess, a little bit. But it does scare me that we've already seen so many arm injuries. And it's not just the White Sox. It's around the league. So you're running out of, like, quality replacements for people. And I don't know if it's a matter of the hard-throwing guys or whatever. It seems like, and I again, don't know if this is causal. It seems like, as fragile as we think major league pitchers are, and I don't mean that as a pejorative. Like, if you look at the way that spring training is set up, it used to be back in the day that spring training was a way for guys to get in shape. Then that stopped. Guys were doing all sorts of stuff throughout the offseason to be in incredible shape. Spring training is there as a device that is used to stretch pitchers out. Look at John Lester, for example. Part of the reason that he ended up lower in the rotation was because he needed a few more days to be comfortable going out there and throwing five innings of no-hit ball. Older guy, he probably knows himself better than most pitchers know themselves because he's pitched so many innings successfully. But the whole reason that spring training is 6 weeks long is because what it takes to build up your arm strength to be able to, every 5 days, throw between 5 and 9 innings. It takes a lot. So the White Sox are now kind of stuck. They need Lucas Giolito to tonight go handle business. Go deep into the game because the bullpen needs a night off. Because the bullpen had to cover 7 innings last night. They did a great job of it. But they still had to do it. And if you're Ricky Renteria, you're also now debating whether you want Ross Detweiler to get a start in 4 days. You might. And so that takes him out of the bullpen. Herbie, did I see that the White Sox released Bisabe?
Yeah, they DFA'd Luis Bisabe to bring up Brady Lail to put him on the 40-man.
Okay. ah, that's too bad. Like, that was one of those guys that I thought maybe had a chance.
I don't understand. He's 23 years old. He's not great by any stretch of the imagination, but they have been touting him. Bringing him to the camp itself, to me, says that you have some faith in him. Hopefully it's not anything off the field and they're just, you know, airing. I don't know. I'm seeing the Miami Marlins like, hey, we need players, and that guy looks kind of good. I could see him getting snatched up really quickly by one of these teams, especially a team that's had a COVID outbreak.
Yeah, you see him, whether it's the Cardinals or the Marlins, like trying to get players. You just need bodies. Like that Cardinals thing is scary because now there are more. Yachty has COVID, and he actually came out and said it, which is why we can say his name. We can't of the other guys unless they say, if they allow the team to announce it, or they say it, you know, on their Instagram or their Twitter. I don't know how this is going to work this past weekend. I'm so glad that the White Sox and the Cardinals are not going to play that Field of Dreams game. It didn't make it a lot of sense to me anyway that it was those two. I thought there were two better choices for that game, but I digress. Man, I didn't even get to my NFL stuff. I got all sorts of NFL stuff. How about this? I'll save it for tomorrow, and we'll talk about it, especially with the team up north. They got issues. Herbie, get Ozarski on the phone for tomorrow. Let's talk with him, because I already think that the Aaron Rodgers thing has escalated too much, too soon, since the draft. So we'll do some football stuff. We'll review what happens in the Cubs and White Sox game. Maybe both teams can stay on a streak. That would be dope if that were the case. And we'll preview Hawks versus Edmonton game 3. Get your defense in order. Thanks for listening. Oh, wait, I didn't check because I got like a whole bunch of text messages today. Let's see. Did I get one from Shep? Yes, I did get one from Shep of his lovely daughter, Peyton. And she says that you should listen to the McNeil and Parkins show because Rex Huddler is going to be on at 3 o'clock. I mean, you don't have to listen to that segment. Hub Arkish is going to be on at 4, though. I kid. You should listen and then tell Rex Huddler why the Royals are bad at baseball. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. McNeil and Parkins are coming up next. Don't worry about me. Your boy is good. All right? See you tomorrow at noon here on The Score.
Bye-bye.
Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Start your day on The Score with Molly and Hall. Live at 5. For Chicago. From Chicago. They're live and local. Covering the Bears, Cubs, Sox, Bulls, and Blackhawks. Molly and Hall. Delivering the sports stories that matter to Chicago. Mornings 5 to 9. Only on Sports Radio 670 The Score. A radio.com sports station.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.